From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, ho, ho hum. Just what you wanted for Christmas, holiday-themed political ads. First, you know the Iowa caucuses are next week. You know this is the first big, real event of the presidential year, but you've forgotten how things got this way. Here's Day to Day's Alex Cohen with a story we call Wiowa.
Why Iowa? Some say it all comes down to an old mimeograph machine in Des Moines. More on that later. First, let's go back to 1968.
Hey, Jude.
The Vietnam War was grinding on. Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr. had both been assassinated. And on August 26th, 1968, this song, Hey, Jude, was released.
Remember.
That same day, the Democratic National Convention opened in Chicago, and in the days that followed, anti-war protesters clashed with police in the streets.
The truck is spraying a gas. The kids are now moving back into the street. They are fighting and pushing. And
meanwhile, inside the convention, Democrats picked their nominee.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to present to this convention the name of Hubert Horatio Humphrey as nominee for the President of the United States.
But many Democrats felt Humphrey was elected by party bosses, and the real choice of the people had been overlooked.
Eugene McCarthy was a very popular Democratic candidate, but when it got to the convention where the party pros were in control, he was shut out.
Drake University professor emeritus Hugh Weinbrenner notes that after the 68 convention, the Democratic Party decided to make some changes.
They created what was called the McGovern-Frazier Commission to make recommendations on what they might do to make sure that the grassroots of the party was represented at every level.
Democrats in Iowa implemented those changes the very next chance they got during the election in 1972.
This year we're in Iowa, we're trying something new.
In a piece that aired on NPR nearly 35 years ago, Richard Seagrave, then a Democratic county chairman, described his party's new system.
Any group at a caucus or convention which numbers at least 15% of the total is supposed to get its proportional share of the delegates to the next level.
The next level was the county conventions, followed by district conventions, and then finally Iowa's state convention. But back to that first step, the precinct caucus. In 1972, they were held in January. Why so early?
That's an interesting question.
That's Richard Seagrave. Again, he's now 72 years old.
Well, our staff at headquarters in those days, we had a total of four people working there. And that's right, we had one ditto machine.
That one ditto machine could only do so much.
Since we didn't have Xerox machines or computers in those days or email, we had to allow about 5 or 6 weeks in between each step to get all the information out and get all the paperwork done. And so we counted backwards from the national convention, which was in July, and we ended up with caucuses in January.
January 24th, to be exact, making the Iowa precinct caucuses the first presidential contest in the nation that year. And soon enough, says former Congressman Dave Nagel, all eyes would be on Iowa.
Of course, now the official version is it was our foresight and our intuition that knew that this would take place, but truth is we were lucky.
When I met up with Nagel earlier this month, we were both at the presidential debates in Johnston, Iowa, along with hundreds of reporters from all over the world. But as Dave Nagel told me, the political scene wasn't always this nutty. Back in 1972, only a few dozen reporters showed up, including a New York Times political correspondent named R.W. Apple, who would put the Iowa caucuses on the map.
Johnny Apple came out to measure the strength of Edmund Muskie, who was the inevitable candidate, and discovered that there was a groundswell of support for McGovern.
Though George McGovern didn't place first in the caucus, he fared well in Iowa and went on to win the nomination of his party. Politicians and the media took note, and when the next election cycle rolled around in 1976, says Jeff Morgan of the Iowa State Historical Museum, then-candidate Jimmy Carter doted on the state.
He got out to all 99 counties in Iowa, met people
one-on-one and really establish that retail politicking that the Iowa caucuses are known for.
Jimmy Carter, of course, went on to win the election that year. Soon after, Republicans in Iowa followed the Democrats' lead. They moved their caucus date up, too, and it wasn't long before Iowa cemented its first-in-the-nation status. Jeff Morgan says Iowa doesn't always pick the winners, but the caucuses do help thin the field.
You do have to historically, traditionally, finish in the top three coming out of the Iowa caucuses, or your chances of continuing are pretty slim.
This year, both the Republican and Democratic caucuses are on January 3rd. That's the earliest date they've ever been held. Alex Cohen, NPR News.